Oh, so you like listening to podcasts, huh? Well, so do a lot of people. As a matter of fact, millions of listeners are tuning into podcasts every week, and your next customer could be one of them. Did you know that podcast advertising is one of the most effective ways to advertise your product or service? And it's really easy to get started. Just go to podbean.com/brands. That's podbean.com/brands to start boosting your business with podcast advertising today.
In today's episode, we are speaking to the amazing Hera Ali, someone who I absolutely admire and look up to, and I have the privilege of calling a business partner as well. A woman who's actually set up a business in three different continents, in three different countries, and has had phenomenal, has seen phenomenal success. So let's find out how she developed her mindset and how she was able to go from a novice to an expert, and not in just one country, but in three different countries. Let's find out. Money Mindset with Girl Khan podcast will help you to break free from your limiting beliefs, reverse your money shame, and to blast through your money blocks so that you can live a life of unlimited abundance. In this podcast, we will talk about mindset strategies and energy tools that will help you to understand and change your relationship with money, whether you're in a job, profession, or working on your passion. Change your relationship with money to change your life. I'm your host, Girl Khan. Let's get started. Welcome, welcome. It's Girl Khan here, your host. And today I'm super, super excited to be speaking to the one and only Hera Ali. Now, Hera Ali has a really soft spot in my heart because not only is she an amazing human being, a phenomenal, phenomenal, phenomenal coach, a leader, a leadership speaker. I mean, I'm going to let her give her own introduction. But from my point of view, she's an amazing human being, an amazing friend, and a fabulous, fabulous business partner. We are business partners. We have a company together that we run, which is an amazing, amazing company. We'll talk about some of the time. But for today, it's all about Hera, and I do love her. So I'm giving love her so much. But she is phenomenal. And a woman who's actually set up a business, not in one, but three different continents, and successfully, may I add. So someone I truly admire. Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for being here, Hera.
Oh, thank you so much, girl. That is indeed very high praise. And I share mutual feelings for you. You know that. I love you very much. And thank you for calling me, inviting me. I'm really excited to be here.
Right, so Hera, now I know you're amazing, and my heart's overflowing with praise and love for you, but I want you to tell the listeners who may not have heard of Hera, which is a bit bizarre if you haven't, but for those who haven't heard of what Hera does, tell us who you are and what do you do?
Okay, so I am primarily and essentially known as an author of the book, which I would like to think is quite popular now. It's called Her Way to the Top, A Guide to Smashing the Glass Ceiling. I'm also a writer. I write a lot of articles, and I've been published in hundreds of global media outlets, including Women at Forbes and HuffPost and Female Lead and many, many others. And other than that, I'm a leadership expert, and I primarily specialize in women ethnic minority leadership. And what else? Yeah, I've done podcasting as well. My podcast was listed in HuffPost as one of the top rising podcasts. And I'm also a career coach accredited by International Coach Federation and a licensed NLP practitioner.
Wow. So that is quite a mouthful. There's so much. You do a lot of things, and quite rightly so. That's why you're so famous. And I forgot to mention, yeah, you're a best-selling author. So your book, Her Way to the Top, is amazing. I've been quoted in that too. So I'm quite impressed with that. All right. So as I mentioned in the beginning, Hera, how did you go about setting up a business from scratch in three different continents, let alone countries? So start us with that. You know, how did you get started, and how did you?
That's a very interesting question. I think I started working. I started working in Pakistan. That's where I'm originally from. And in Pakistan, even though I didn't set up a business, but I did build my leadership brand from ground zero, because obviously I started working, and I worked in two companies in Pakistan. It was a pharmaceutical company and a distribution company, but I did quite well. I was working in a completely male-dominated industry with 21 men who were twice my age. So it was a bit tricky, but alhamdulillah, I think it went very well. And I got promotions, I got increments, I was doing very well. I was in a very good career trajectory until my husband decided to move to Dubai. So that was for better job prospects. So we moved to Dubai. In Dubai is where I decided to sort of, because I was expecting, I decided to sort of do a freelance work. And the response was really good. I remember the first time I trained 45 women from Nigeria who actually worked with the Nigerian president. Wow. And this was my first assignment there. And these women had landed at, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning at 9 a.m. I was supposed to train them, and I was told that you have to keep them up. And I was like, oh God, that's really challenging. But the training went very well. And initially I did experience imposter syndrome, because before that I was only training Pakistani people.
Yeah.
And that was like my first international exposure. And the training was amazing. The feedback was brilliant. In fact, I was told by the trainer that the next day, they were asking for me because I wasn't training the next day. And they said, you know, call her back. She was really good. So that, I think, really encouraged me. And I started doing more and more freelance training until I launched my own company called EV Management Consulting. And under that umbrella, I trained hundreds of people. And of course, in Dubai, when I moved to Dubai, I did have a few contacts from Pakistan. But of course, it was a relatively new market for me still, comparatively. It took time. It took a couple of years. But eventually, I had very nice clients with reoccurring income. And you know how Dubai is. It was tax-free. It was a very good, luxurious life, I would say. And, you know, I wasn't working too hard. I mean, I was working hard. You always see you can't really get results without working hard. But I wasn't working too hard. It was a very comfortable life. And nobody knew me. I wasn't very popular there. But nevertheless, I think it was quite nice. And then my husband decided to move to London. So husband is the person who sort of moved, and I moved with him. I don't think so I would have dared to move on my own, but because of him, I moved. And I think every time the move has also been really good for, I mean, he moves for his job prospects, but every time the move has also been very good for me.
Yeah.
And in London, I think it was truly challenging because I didn't know anybody here at all. I had no support structure, no friends, no network. And that's when I decided to start writing and do podcasting, because I thought that's a very good way to sort of spread my message and talk to people and communicate with people and build my leadership brand. And of course, it was all pro bono because, you know, it's free, right? You can write whatever you want. Of course, the content has to be good and useful. Mm. And I think the writing took off very well because I was published in Huffington Post, in Women at Forbes. I think my limelight, you know, the overnight success, as you would call it, was one of the days when Ariana Huffington shared my blogs. So I think that was wonderful. So I wrote a book, and then I was also being invited for, you know, leadership sessions and talks and leadership development programs. And then I launched Career Excel, as you know, which is an online women leadership program with my partner in the U.S., who I've never met in person. We've only met online. And then I launched The Grey Area, which captures the experience of ethnic minorities with Shinon Kutaria. She's in London. We met. She's a very good friend, of course. And then I launched International Women Empowerment Events, and we had a launching conference in Maldives last year, and I launched this with you. So it was really a wonderful experience so far. And yeah, this has been my journey.
So what has been the biggest obstacle for you on this path? I mean, you've made it sound so easy, but I know I know it quite well. So I know your ups and downs and how challenging things have been at certain times, especially moving to UK. And I know with the Pakistani background, there is this that hang up that, you know, somehow there's a cultural sort of programming that happens to most people, including people who were born here, but especially people coming from Pakistan, somehow you are in a Western world and therefore somehow inferior. How did you overcome that? And this is a very big a factor which contributes towards the imposter syndrome. Why should someone, a white person or a white man or females or people around, listen to someone, a brown girl from Pakistan? This is a major thing for you. So how did you overcome that?
Yes. So that's very interesting. I think when I first moved to UK, I did have a lot of imposter syndrome. And I was like, why would anybody listen to me? And who am I? Who am I to contribute to anything over here? And so those thoughts were there. I remember I met a coach earlier on, and he told me this thing. He said, you know what, whatever you do, you know, the leadership trainings and career coaching and whatever you're offering to people, irrespective of their background, ethnicity, whatever you're offering is really relevant to everybody across the board. It doesn't really matter where they're from, because you know you're coaching, you do leadership and emotional intelligence and all these things around soft skills, and that's for that. And you are qualified. You do have degrees, and you're accredited. So then what's stopping you back? And I was like, well, that's true. And then I think I also sort of used my uniqueness to my advantage, because I thought, yes, I am a brown Asian Muslim girl, but that is also what makes me unique, because I bring a lot of international experience to the market. So I had experience working in Asia and Middle East. And then because I, thanks to this, Zoom and online technology, I was reaching out to women across the globe, including US and Africa and Canada and Australia. So I had access to all these women literally across the globe. So that's how I positioned myself, as somebody who was an international speaker, who brought an international perspective. And yes, of course, there were times when I would be published in amazing places, I would be interviewed, my career success, right? So they have been amazing achievements. Yes,
they're phenomenal achievements.
I was like, oh my God, And I think the one thing which I didn't hesitate to do was step up and ask people, to sort of, ask for favors in terms of, can you give me a book review? Can you give me a testimonial? I was never really scared. And of course, I took a lot of time to build relationships. It wasn't like, one fine day I reach out and say, can you send me a review or a testimonial? Because relationships take time. Mm-hmm. And networking takes time. Reciprocity is the key. So I think that is really important. So whoever was there for me, the mentors, the industry leaders, I was always there for them. I would support their work. I was always there to appreciate and acknowledge them. So when my time came, they knew that, she's not somebody who's always asking, because I was also giving from my perspective. I tried to sort of give that respect.
And acknowledgement. Pay it forward, isn't it? It's a concept. Pay it forward.
Absolutely. So I think networking was important, not being afraid, not being scared. And I mean, what's the maximum worst thing that could happen, right? People would say no, right? And that's absolutely all right. If they would say no, I would stop. And trust me, a lot of my book testimonials from these amazing people, global influencers came
after Terry Blair. Let's not forget Terry Blair.
And that was after the book got published. So I reached out to them. They didn't have time. So I said, okay, even if you don't have time, I'm going to still send the book to you, because obviously if I say that you're a role model, I mean it. So it's not that if you refused the testimonial to me, so I will no longer send you the book. But I did send them the book, and on the weekend I suddenly get a review. So, and from Ziauddin Yusuf, Zahi Malala's dad, he's been very supportive of my work. So all these people gave me reviews after the book was published, which was fantastic. I didn't expect it. But I think we just need to ask ourselves this question: what is the worst that can happen, right? And I think every time there was negativity, or any time I felt that, oh, I'm not up to the task, I use this technique called the brain flip, in which I literally count to three and I flip my negative thought with something very positive. And I trained my mind so much, Kul, in the past few years. And of course, you have also played a very important role with all your amazing talks and sessions. And we've personally benefited a lot from you as friends and, as team members with all the amazing things you tell us. I mean, it's so powerful. This, the techniques and strategies you teach, they're amazing. So they were also really effective. And I think having a group around you supportive, who's feeding in these positive thoughts in your mind, that's also very important. So I'm very grateful that I have these amazing friends, this amazing circle of friends who are there to support me, and family members, which of course includes you as well. And we're always there to listen to me when I have to went out, because I've called you, God knows, so many times. Like, God, so, to went out, just, when you're having a hard time. So, yeah, and I think whatever hard time you go through is going to be okay, honestly. I mean, it doesn't feel like it's going to be okay, but there'll be a time that, things will be okay. I think that's the basic conviction. Also, the fact that a lot of times things which are bad for you and things which don't work in your favor later turn out to be a blessing. So in 2018, I had a very difficult year. I stopped working for 6 months. I was under a lot of emotional stress, and my book launch got postponed, and there was a death in the family, and my mom wasn't keeping well. So lots of things happening at the same time. And I literally stopped working for 6 months, and my book launch was postponed. My critics' sale launch was postponed. But then in February, it turned out to be a huge blessing, because before that, I had no reviews. My book was actually going to be published without any testimonials. But because I waited that long until February, I managed to get in some very good testimonials. So I think in hindsight, everything that happens, happens for a reason, even if it seems like a problem, obstacle right now. And I have this full faith, you know, with respect. Even I never really get disappointed with career stuff, to be honest. I think Allah has blessed me more than I had asked for ever, honestly. And I'm super grateful for that. And yeah, I think just sort of count your blessings, be positive, reframe your mindset. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to own your identity. That's really important. I have never been afraid to share that I am an Asian Muslim brown girl with cultural values, which I don't want to violate. So this is where, you know, these are my boundaries. If I eat halal food or if I don't drink alcohol, I've made that known since the first day. Because I feel creating awareness is very important. To be authentic is really important. So if you're not able to be your authentic you, then you'll never be able to succeed. So it's important to sort of bring that to the table. And my friends and, you know, business partners and colleagues have all respected that since day one, which I'm very grateful for. So I guess these are all the strategies I sort of used to kind of, you know, sustain those really, really hard days.
What else do you think has been your biggest obstacle to attaining the success you have? And now you have had phenomenal success,
yeah.
You know, going to the House of Lords and the kind of, you know, kind of praise and testimonials that came forward for your book. But for someone like, yeah, when I look upon you, there's someone inside of you, this little young Pakistani girl who's come onto the international platform with a bang. And at times I see those, you know, I see that little young girl thinking, oh my God, what the hell am I doing here? Why do they think I'm so amazing? Am I really that amazing? Do you think I'm amazing? No, being a close friend, I know those things come up. From externally, nobody would think that for a second. Like, here I would never say or even dream of saying something like that. But because I'm with you, I hear those things. How would you respond back? And I think it's important to own those vulnerable moments.
Yes,
because
absolutely.
That's what makes you you. And it makes you so connectable and relatable to people, because not everyone is as confident or as articulate or as has tasted the kind of success that you have.
How would you
help someone like that who thinks, well, Harry, it's all good for you, but you're very clever, or you're super amazing, or you've had good luck. That's another one. You've been lucky. What would you say to someone like that who has that kind of mindset, thinking you're just lucky, or I just can't do it, or you're more talented than me? What advice would you give them?
So first of all, I think, yes, you know, luck could be important, but luck favors those who are prepared.
Absolutely.
So I think I would say, and I think I would confidently own this, yes, I have been lucky. I wouldn't deny, you know, by the grace of God, I have, you know, in terms of career particularly, I've been very lucky. But I would say that I have put in a lot of hard work, you know, blood, sweat and tears. And people usually feel that when you're an entrepreneur, people usually post only the good things. I mean, I haven't published about my failures, or the time when I didn't win the award, or the time when I wasn't published, or people refused to publish me, or the time things didn't go well. So, I mean, there's so many such moments in your life, which you only post the good things in your life, right? So people just see the good things in your life. And I also recently started doing this. I do post this. I am not afraid to admit, I'm not embarrassed to admit, that I've been here in London for 4 years. I started properly earning last year. Last year was the first time I actually had income in my bank account. The first 2 years, I was just working extremely hard to build my brand. And I was doing a lot of pro bono stuff. And you need to be super self-motivated, Gul, as you would know, because you're not doing it. That if you are not getting any income or any returns from that, yes, you just keep on working hard for hours and hours on weekends. I mean, literally, it's funny that you know, I'm recently watching Merlin with Ibrahim, right, my son. And
I love Merlin. I've watched the whole series.
Exactly. So I was watching it. And last year, this time, Ibrahim watched it with his dad. And I was there. Working away, you know, slaving away, I would say. And I had no recollection, because, you know, there were so many movies they would watch, but I would just be, you know, constantly on my laptop working. So it has been like lots of hard work. I would say that, you know, success doesn't come overnight. So for anybody who is looking to achieve success overnight, it doesn't come like that. And to be honest, if I look at my success right now, it's also not just, people usually see it's London, right? 4 years, but it's actually been 14 years in the making.
Yes.
Because I had to start from scratch in Dubai too. So, you know, I spent that time starting from zero. I brought my business up to a level and then boom, I was dropped to the ground. I had to start level and start again. And then I was brought up to that level and then boom, COVID happened. So, you know, now you again need to revisit your business plans and your ideas. So I think what is important is that when you have those weak, vulnerable moments, you need to acknowledge that. Do not dismiss it, because we all humans, we will get these moments where we will feel, you know, what am I doing here? You know, what if people find out that I'm not that smart? Or what will happen? You know, am I a fraud? Am I fake? So these questions always, and the good thing is, imposter syndrome usually impacts people who have had success in the past. So it's like, you know, the more success you get, the more imposter syndrome affects you. And the bad news is that you never really get rid of imposter syndrome. It's always there. I remember I had been featured as a role model alongside amazing influencers like Arianna Huffington and Reshma Shajani and these amazing global influencers. And I was right there in the book with these people, right? With Hollywood celebrities. I mean, I remember Deborah had posted this on Facebook, and I had seen her movie like 11 years ago sitting on my couch, and I never knew that I would be quoted in a book with this Hollywood celebrity. It was a huge feeling. I didn't sleep the whole night. And then my husband was like, did you bribe your way into it? I said, no, there was no money involved. And there's nothing involved. She's like, you obviously have done something to earn this. So he said, why don't you recollect your past achievements? And I think this is a very good advice. Whenever you feel unworthy, I think list down all your accomplishments in the past, because you know, chances are that you have impacted, you know, somebody at least, if not hundreds of people, then at least one person. And even if you have impacted that one person positively, that's enough motivation to go ahead. I mean, when I started writing my blogs, I had promised myself that even if one person reads my blogs, I'll be more than happy. And I started with that passion that I don't want to impact thousands. I mean, now, thankfully, thousands do read my blogs. But I said that, you know, I'm just going to impact one person. You have to start small. You don't have to start huge and say, oh, like, you know, unless a million people don't read my stuff, I'm not going to publish it. So it has, you know, start with small expectations, work extremely hard. There will be times when the imposter syndrome is going to be alive and it's going to rear its ugly head and really bother you. But it's just that I would say there's a thin line between confidence and overconfidence. When the imposter tells you to sort of do your research, don't speak, then listen to the imposter, because imposter syndrome is actually a good thing. A lot of people could do with a healthy dose of self-esteem. So listen to the imposter and perhaps, you know, do your research. But if you feel that you've adequately researched, you've done your job, it's step up and do it anyway. So I think that's really important. And you know, everybody feels negative from time to time. So I think you just have to practice positive visualization. Imagine, I always imagine myself going to stage and people laughing for me. Always. That's like, every time I speak, I feel people are going to be so excited with me on stage. They're going to love my energy. And in the end.
And they do.
And they do. Thankfully, they do. But I think positive visualizations also. These things really, really help. And of course, friends and, you know, people like Gulhan, listen to her regularly. You're going to be very motivated all your life. You really are going to do wonders in your business.
Oh, thank you for that. Let's go this way then. So you've had amazing achievements. And I know, you know, through the career graph that you've had, what would you say has been your biggest achievement and why?
I think my biggest achievement to date would be being a published author, writing a book which got amazing testimonials, which made it to the local news and Europe breaking news and, you know, a lot of several recommended reading lists. And because of that, I was also sort of later on quoted quoted as the role model in another book. And then recently, I was nominated for Influential Women's Award. I won the Women in Media Award last year. So I think these are some of the achievements that I'm really, really thankful. I got a letter from the Mayor of London, which was also very exciting. So yeah, I think lots of these different achievements. Last week, actually, the British Pakistani Foundation, they contacted me and they said, we want to feature you as an outstanding British Pakistani.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, what? Really? So that was really exciting. So, I mean, you know, these little acknowledgements have been absolutely amazing. I think the best would definitely be the fact that I was published as an author.
So what is, you've achieved so much, and I know you're very ambitious, you want to strive further. What keeps you motivated? How do you, you know, when you have all these people praising you, because I know you're being very modest at the moment, you mentioned it, but if somebody actually goes and does research and you will realize they're actually a very modest version of what you've achieved, how do you keep yourself motivated to move forward? How do you think, okay, now I need to do this, I can move forward from there, and then yet, because I know you personally, you're a very, very humble, very grounded person, how do you attain and achieve all this success and continue to move forward, strive in the direction of more success, yet remain grounded? How do you change your mindset, or how do you deal with your mindset around that?
So I think for me, humility has been passed on to me by my parents. I think it's been literally something which has been really, really important for me. I do talk to a lot of people. I interview a lot of people. And the first thing they say is, oh my God, you know, you're such an inspiration, but you're so humble. You're so down to earth. You're so grounded. And I feel that, you know, why shouldn't I be? I mean, you know, I have been blessed with a lot of achievements, but it's not just something, and I do own my achievements. It's not that I dismiss the compliments and I say, but honestly, something, there have been a lot of people who have been responsible, and I really believe in, you know, in divine energy, as you call it. That's what you call it.
Energy.
Allah. And I think Allah is the one who has blessed me with everything. So why shouldn't I be humble? So humility, I think, is really important to me. And I remember somebody had called, you know, the New Zealand Prime Minister, Jacinda, somebody had said that, you know, just because she's empathetic, she's probably not strong. And I refuse to acknowledge, and she said that I refuse to acknowledge, and I also refuse to accept this. You can be very strong. You can really be very strong. At the same time, you can be empathetic and you can be humble.
Agreed.
Along. So what motivates me is, and I'm very passionate about empowering women and ethnic minorities, particularly here in the UK. Back in my country, I'm very passionate about closing the gender gap, which is huge.
Yeah, I know.
I also want to now get into involving youth, you know, be it Asian youth, Pakistani youth, Muslim youth, or youth globally, you know, from marginalized communities, irrespective of their background, gender, faith, socioeconomic, you know, conditions. People, there are lots of marginalized communities, right? So I really want to support those people to break the glass ceiling. And I think that really motivates me. The impact that I have this week has been amazing, alhamdulillah, because I've had coaching clients in Australia, Canada, London, and Malaysia. Mm-hmm. And the feedback was brilliant. And I think it's not even, of course, the financial bit is important, but it's just the impact you have on people when they feel, oh my God, you know, thank you so much. I really took that next step because of you. I think that's what really keeps me going, just to be able to help communities, you know, countries, or just people individually to sort of progress and get to that next level.
Thank you so much, Ram. So on parting terms, tell us one tip that you want to give our listeners right now.
Wow, so many tips. What should I say? I think being positive and being grateful, I think, is something which always sort of helps me. And when I say be positive and be grateful, it doesn't mean that you be positive and grateful all the time. There will be times when you will really feel very annoyed and excruciatingly frustrated. And that's fine. Acknowledge those moments. Know that you're going through a bad time. Don't dismiss it, because I think a lot of mental health problems arise because you say, oh, you know, maybe I shouldn't complain. Maybe I'm better. Yes, you are better off than hundreds of people. But if you're going through a moment, don't dismiss it. Acknowledge it that you are going through a bad time. Don't compare yourself with anybody. But then after you have your meltdown, after you've wallowed in despair for a number of days, which I'm a huge fan of, well, not a number of days, but a day or two, eat chocolate, you know, candy, whatever it takes to motivate you, and then get back, and then do remember the things which you have in life, which we take for granted, like a roof over our head, you know, food to eat. And I think COVID-19 has sort of really make us realize the importance of so many little things in our life which we take for granted. So that's really important. Being positive, being grateful is something which is always going to really, really help you in life. And humility is underrated. I think the humility always also really helps you in being more likable and be vulnerable. Don't be afraid to be vulnerable, authentic, and of making mistakes. Because by making mistakes, you show to people that you are, you know, you're genuine, you're real, you're a human being like them, and that's what inspires them. So you said one, I gave you many tips, sorry.
That's fine. Thank you so much for that. So here, where can we find you?
Oh, okay. Sorry. So on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, my Twitter, my handles for all three of these is at Advancing You. Then my website is www.advancingyourpotential.com. And then on LinkedIn, I'm there as Hira Ali Coach.
Okay, brilliant. Thank you so much for sharing that. Thank you so much for having, you know, coming and sharing all those, you know, those tips and those, and sharing, and most importantly, your journey and sharing the vulnerable side of you, which people don't get to see when they see the here best-selling author or here are the coach or here are the expert in various fields that you are. So thank you for being so vulnerable. Thank you for being so open, and thank you for sharing your wisdom with us. For those of you watching, thank you so much for watching today's session with Hira Ali. I will be back with another feature, for the Friday feature, with someone else, another amazing story, another inspiring story. Until the next time we meet, this is Girl Kind signing off. Take care and bye for now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
If you want to learn more about my energy tools and mindset strategies, then please visit my website, www.gulkhan.com. That's GULKHAN.com. And if you want to take part in our free 5-day millionaire mindset makeover challenge, where I deep dive into energy tools for abundance, then please go to www.millionairemindsetmakeover.com and register. I look forward to being your mentor in our free 5-day challenge. Until the next time we meet, this is Girl Khan. Bye for now.
Are you the proprietor of a business selling shaving kits, meal packs, audiobooks, or anything else of the sort? Have you failed to tap the market of people who love hearing their favorite comedians talk about their boring lives? What's wrong with you? 57% of US consumers listen to podcasts every month. That's a lot of ears that could be hearing about your brand. Go to podbean.com/brands to learn how it do. That's podbean.com/brands, and you could be the one talking instead of me.